Honor the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Life with God is a willing servitude. It is an unconditional surrendering and submission to His leading and lordship. We come to the realization that He is God and that we are not. He is love and that He loves us with an unconditional, sacrificial, and everlasting love. He has made us after His image and likeness, but we have strayed from Him, and He is seeking to draw us back to Him again. There is a path of destruction, a broad way that we have unwittingly treaded upon in the past by willful rejection of Jesus Christ, that we know will condemn our soul in hell. But we have been shown a better way. God has shown us another path, a narrow path with our Lord that leads to everlasting life, which we are encouraged to willingly follow. There is a willingness in the heart of the believer to walk with God, whereas in the past, we shake our clenched fist, as it were, toward God and said, we will not bow down. We will not serve. We will not trust. We will not follow. Well, we can attest to that life of resistance toward God. And is it true that there is still that resistance within your heart toward God, that your life is still not fully surrendered to Him? Your all is not placed at the altar of sacrifice before Him, that He cannot bless for all that He has sought to bless you? We realize we have come to acknowledge our sins and repent with great remorse and turn to Christ for salvation. We take hold of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that He shed His blood to wash away our sins, and that He, by what He has done, upon Him all our sins, and by virtue of His resurrection from the dead, 3 days later, we, by His resurrection, by His triumph power over sin, granted to us that forgiveness of sins and opened for us the way, the gateway to heaven. We know from the bottom of our hearts that our sins have been cleansed. There is no rebuke in our heart. And we may say from the bottom of our heart, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank God for what He had done for me, that sins can be forgiven, that guilt can be taken away. There is a way out. At the cross, at the foot of the cross. And we praise the Lord that we have the hope to enter heaven, a place that is without pollution. No sin can enter into that blessed place of purity called heaven. This, in a nutshell, is the Christian life on earth. And our text speaks of our response to the goodness of God experienced in our life as we surrender ourselves to Him, as we give ourselves wholly, fully to His guidance, to His leading, as we honor Him in everything that we do, as we give to Him the preeminence in our life, accord to Him all glory, because He is the one that imparts life. Without Him imparting that life, we cannot have our being. Hence, Solomon says to his son, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. And he speaks this word, honor, as a command, as an imperative that God's people must urgently, fervently, decidedly obey. Honor the Lord, he tells us. And this word, honor, means weighty. It means heavy. That's the substance of this word. It conveys something substantive. This word, kavet, is a verb that is in the intensive stem in the original to convey a significant word worthy of our close, utmost attention. Honor. Honor the Lord. And this word here means more than mere obedience. This word was first found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. In the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So there is a context to this word that we can learn. It shows to us in a very practical term what it means to honor. And who are we to honor? Well, we are to honor our parents, those who give to us life. Right? Our being is from them. In other words, as we meditate upon this word, we are able to see and we are able to understand how that honoring of our physical father and mother translates into our understanding concerning honoring our God, whom we cannot see. So, here is interesting that the fifth commandment states that as we honor father and mother, there is a blessing that is accorded to this honoring, to this action of giving utmost respect, to give utmost regard to our parents. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20, 12. And Moses reiterated this again in Deuteronomy 15, 16. He says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment is the only commandment that comes with a blessing for obeying. And it's interesting that this is the same word that is used there to describe the blessing of the believer in the honoring of God. As we look at this text, the reason annexed, the confession says, to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and for their own good to all such as keep this commandment. And so, as we think and ponder concerning this word, to honor, we are brought to the words of this man called D.L. Moody. He was an evangelist whom God used mightily to win many souls into God's kingdom in the 19th century. And he says this in his old age. He says, "Obedience and respect at home prepare the way for obedience to the employer and are joined with other virtues that help toward a prosperous career crowned with a ripe, honored old age. Disobedience and disrespect for parents are often the first steps in the downward tract." Many a criminal has testified that this is the point where he first went astray. And he said, "I've lived 60 years, over 60 years, and I've learned one thing, if I have learned nothing else, that no man or woman who dishonor father and mother ever prosper." So as we look at the use of this word in its meaning, translated the same in the King James Bible, we understand a little bit better the meaning of this word, to honor. So the word honor, speaking with regard to God, that we are to give to Him the utmost respect, the utmost regard, and to accord to Him as the one who is the source and the sustenance of our very being, more than our physical parents on earth. He is the one that has chosen us before the foundation of the world and given to us life in the fullness of time. To honor means to give your love, your affection, your gratitude, your respect. We have been using this Dennis Gibson's book on the book of on the Proverbs for our daily devotion. And this is what he says on this particular topic. He says, and I quote him, he said very well, "Honor the Lord." This is the primary emphasis here. What a privilege that sinful man is called to honor the Lord God. Giving of your substance is by way of illustration. He says, this is just one aspect of it. For man, this means much more than giving money. It includes devotion, your thankfulness, and your trust. You remember last week we said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Honoring God is an exercise of faith. Giving is an exercise of faith. And we are to learn what it means to honor God, our parents, children, learning first to honor their parents in the home. And so, as we ponder this text, there are three words that we want us to see and understand what we are to do. The first, attitude. The second, action. And the third, assurance. The first, attitude. Honor the Lord. Honoring God is an attitude to be cultivated in the Christian life. It is a right heart. It is the disposition of a sanctified heart. In all our cultivation, let us cultivate a right attitude to honor God in all aspects of our life. To honor means to put Him first. To give Him the preference, to give Him the time, to give Him the preeminence, to give His word the preference, to seek to obey and to willingly follow the instructions of God's word. It is an attitude to yield all to the glory of God. Dennis Gibson says that God will accept your devotion to Him because it is wholehearted, it is true, it is genuine. And so, as we consider the words of Solomon, he tells us how important it is that we look at our attitude, how we would honor our God. Our love for Him is not selfish. Why do I say that? Because we may want something from Him. Therefore, we do this and we do that to win His blessings. Let us realize that the blessings are the byproduct of our life with God. When we have Him, we have everything. Just His presence with us, that is enough. And this is an understanding that we need to bring home to our hearts. More than the physical and the material, He gives to us peace and joy and the prosperity of the soul. And so, when we speak about honoring the Lord, we are speaking about a yielding, a surrendering of ourselves to God. The self that is crucified with Christ on the cross is not an honor that comes only when our bank account is full and overflowing. We fret, we become unsettled when we fall below the comfort level in our bank account. Or that we will honor only when we have good health. When sickness comes our way, we blame God and we shove our honor toward Him. Because we do not have good health and strength in those times of our lives. And so the word honor, you remember we said, is a willing servitude. Life with God is a willingness to surrender ourselves to His leading, to His guidance. And the Lord wants us to reach that understanding in our lives. And the Apostle Paul, in all his experience as a servant of God, he says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, he's saying that whatever the external condition may be, whether I have much, whether I have little, whether it's health or it's sickness, David the psalmist says in Psalm 37, this is his stick concerning the honoring of the law. He says in verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. So why do we seek for prosperity when you know that that prosperity is not of God, does not honor God, rather not have it? The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And so, when we honor the Lord, you find God is there to keep and to strengthen you. Honor the Lord. Even when a man who honors God has little in his sight and in God's sight, that little is much. And so Solomon is saying to us, honor the Lord. And this first thought, our attitude, is that we are to check our hearts to know if we are putting Him first in our lives. And we are to measure it in every aspect of our lives. We don't want to run ahead of God. We are willing to say, if God wants to take this away from me, I allow Him to take it away. It's hard, isn't it? To allow Him to take it away. But you realize that there are those idols in our hearts that we so hold so dearly, that we will not give up. These are not crucified with Christ upon the cross. These are those that we cherished deep inside us that rob us from honoring Him fully and totally, that causes us not to be totally surrendered, that we may not receive fully of God's blessings. May we pray and ask God to give to us a sanctified heart to honor the Lord. I remember there was a time I met a man in a destitute home, and he was already in his 70s, and he says this, that I am here not for many weeks. I'm here because I'm unwanted. I wanted to take my life. Actually, I was taking the lift up to the high floor of this flat, and I was ready to end my life. I met a Christian girl, and she spoke to me while we were on the lift, and she dissuaded me. And I'm brought here, and he says that I'm sad because my children have forsaken me. I'm well educated. I have an American education, and in those days, very precious. And I run my own business, and I own 2 bungalows, and I sold them in order to let my children go abroad to study. My son has double PhD. And the other of my children, they are all successful people, but they have abandoned me. And here I am by myself. And he was so sad. And you could feel the grief in his heart. Well, as you think of it, our relations to our earthly parent and our relation to our Heavenly Father, who has bestowed us with everything that we can possibly imagine that God has given to us for our sustenance, for our blessings, all His goodness that He has bestowed upon us since the first day we were born. And if we would reject Him, we would neglect to honor Him for all that He has done for us. What ingratitude. And so, as we look at this man's life, we see how sad he is, having sacrificially given his all to the family, and this is what he received. But as you look at what is God doing for us, creating a happy earth on for us, men made in the image and likeness of God to dwell in, and that we choose to stray away from Him because there's something that we would want, that we would don't want God to interfere. Are there some things in your life that you are afraid to lose? Well, for the nation of Israel, this was what happened. You see, before God brought them into the land, God gave to them these words. And you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Right? The first thought, we said attitude. The second thought, action. Attitude. Action. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. Israel was a predominantly agricultural society. Before they entered the promised land, God gave them these commandments to give a tenth of the first fruits of their increase to God, to acknowledge Him and to thank Him for all the blessings of the harvest that were bestowed upon them. Shall we read together Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 to 23? Deuteronomy chapter 14, 22 to 23. If you are there, let us read. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithes of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn the fear to fear the Lord thy God always. It's interesting that in the Chinese translation of the word there, the word there is linked to this word, to fear God. And Solomon, it's interesting, Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of wisdom. And here the Lord is saying to us that how can we honor Him? Well, one basic aspect, he says, verse 9, to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. If you look at the history of Israel, it attests to the veracity of God's promise in His word, that they are to remember Him. Why? Because He's the one who causes the rain to fall, He is the one who gives the sun. He is the one that causes the seed to germinate and the fruit to grow, that they would be able to receive that harvest. And God is saying to them, give me all your harvest. God is not saying to them to give all of the harvest. God is saying to them, give 10% of your harvest. The rest of it you use and you keep for your nourishment. But give the first fruit. That is a part of honoring God. And so you see here, Solomon teaches us good lessons concerning how we may live to bring honor to our God. And if you look at the history of Israel, you'll find that when God brought them into the land and God began to give them the increase and they began to prosper, they began to forget their God. That is our unsanctified nature. We can be forgetful, and that our memory can be short to remember what God has been doing for us in our lives. And so this second thought, action, helps us to see that a right attitude will bring forth a sanctified action. So when Israel followed the Lord, God was there with them. And that's linked to our third thought. Assurance. Right? Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God doesn't want us to covet after this new wine. God doesn't want us to covet after this bursting of the wine presses for more and more. No, that is not the focus. Our Lord is the focus. And when we bless the creature more than the Creator, that's where problem comes. And that is why Israel was deported out of the land. You know, they were deported out of the land twice. One time for 70 years, God brought the Babylonians, 586 BC, to bring them out of the land. The temple was razed to the ground, the cities destroyed, and Israel was held captive. What happened? They went after the idols. They dishonored the law. And God had sent prophet after prophet to remind them. God had sent prophet after prophet to wake them up of their slumber. And yet, they were still in their slumber. They refused to awake. God had to wake them up. 70 years they were in Babylon. Terrible servitude. And here, you know, we can distinguish that kind of a servitude. When we refuse God and a kind of life where we choose to walk with God. A surrendered life before God. Israel was rid of idolatry. And as we have been studying in our adult Sunday school, the book of Zechariah, God brought them back again to the land. But when they came back to the land, they were so spiritually disoriented. that they don't know how to honor their Lord. They went about building their own silted houses, the Bible says. And God had to send a senior prophet by the name of Haggai to them. And Haggai said to them, "Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink and are not filled with water. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." They have not honored the Lord. Their actions were contrary to what God would want them to do. It was not a willing servitude. And then, during the time of Malachi, they were back in the land again. They have built the temple. But this time, they honored the Lord in a very superficial way. There was a veil in their piety toward God. It was not real. And so Malachi said to them, chapter 3 and verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." And so here is a word of warning that our actions, they must be sincere. They must be truthful. That we do so because we love God. We do not give Him our leftovers. Oh, it's interesting. What's with my elderly grandmother? And she said this. She said, "You know, when you have your neighbor and you want to give them things, you make sure that you give to them, you know, if you have cooked something, you make sure that you would scoop it up for them before you eat. Give this to them. Don't give them the leftover. Don't give them the things you don't want. Honor the Lord. Truthful." Attitude. Action. Assurance. That's our third thought. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So this was a verse that was given to Israel before they entered the promised land, so that they may remember that God is the one who will prosper their ways by giving health and strength, that they may learn that God is the one that provided them with the strength to labor, and that he is the one that sends the rain and ripens the harvest. And all this comes from God. Israel is instructed to acknowledge God as the giver. And so the prophet Malachi says to the children of Israel, Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, why is it that we don't put the cart before the horse? Because there is that tendency for us to do so. There's a tendency for us to seek to want to receive the blessings of God without giving him all the honor, all the glory, without the sacrifice. You know how heaven was won for us? Christ himself, God himself, had to lay down his life. And the Lord wants us to understand this principle of honoring him. And that's why I believe the word there means heavy, weighty. Give that which is weighty. Give that which is heavy. Give that which is substantive to the Lord your God. And be assured, will he not take care of you? Surely he will take care of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy in showing to us how we need to honor thee. Father, may thou be gracious to teach us, that we may give thee our all. Lord, may every idol be crucified upon the cross. And Lord, may thou present us, may we present ourselves as living sacrifice before thee. O Lord, help us to understand that perfect will of willing servitude, of surrendering our all to thee, and to see thy glory manifested in our humble lives. O Lord, may thou be gracious to help us to see thy good will for our lives, and that we be willing to live in it. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.